Thaw.
Drip, drip, drip. Cold water onto Clover's head, his shoulders, his back, working its way through every seam, trickling, tickling against his sore and clammy skin.
Bloody dripping,
he muttered, frowning up at the branches, but rain was just one more of life's buffets he was powerless to prevent.
Guess we could move out from under the trees,
muttered Flick.
Aye, but then we'd have the mod to deal with.
Clover shook his head and scraped a smear of dirt from his trousers with his thumbnail. Wasted effort, since they'd be spattered afresh before you knew it.
Bloody mod! Worst thing about war!
Worse than the death? Asked Scholler, who'd been busy for the past hour at least with her endless quest to cut the thinnest slice of cheese imaginable.
Death is but an occasional hazard. Mod is a constant.
And Clover rubbed that bit of dirt thoughtfully between thumb and forefinger.
Strange, isn't it? Soil and water are both good things, things you can't live without. But mix the two and add an army, you've got a nightmare.
It had been a cold winter, snow banked up man tall in the high places. With the weather tilting warmer, seemed the world was melting. Water dripped from the trees, dripped from the eaves of Currahome's sodden houses, seeped through the boggy grass, and gathered in the streams and swollen to dirty rivers. Downside came squelching over, knocking melting snow from the brambles.
"Where have you been?" asked Clover.
"There's two things I enjoy, fucking and killing. I can't do the one, so I've been at the other."
Scholler didn't look up from her cheese cutting.
"And did your hand enjoy it as much as you did?"
Clover chuckled. Flick chuckled. Downside frowned as he worked it through. Then he worked it out and frowned more. Didn't say anything, though. No doubt he could have twisted Scholler's head off in a wrestling match, but he knew that in a battle of wits, she was much the better armed.
"By the dead boy," grunted Clover as Flick nudged him in the ribs. "You've got the sharpest damn elbows in the north."
Then he saw the worry. Black Calder stalking over with a grim crowd of named men, all striving to look mighty while they tiptoed through the winter muck.
"Chief!"
Clover jumped up, slapping dirt from the seat of his trousers. He knew he was on thin ice with Calder, so he was being specially accommodating.
"Good to see you."
Calder frowned up from under wrinkled brows.
"Don't spoon it on too thick. I've come to tell you we're moving out."
"Moving out where?"
"Carleon."
"High time,"
grunted Downside with an approving nod, and you know you've a reckless notion on your hands when you win Downside's approval.
"You're marching now?"
Clover waved at the valley full of filth, mostly black mud, with some sad streaks of white snow clinging to the hollows, sprinkled with rubbish and the wreckage of tents, crawling with unhappy men, like a rotten log with woodlice, the keen wind snatching ash from dead fires and blowing it in folks' faces.
"In this?"
"Better weather's on the way."
"Aye, but that'll make things even wetter. Every river'll be swollen, every ford neck high, every road a bloody mire. That's before we even set foot on it. We'll be drowning in mud by the time we get to Carleon."
Calder narrowed his eyes.
"Might be we'll lose a couple of the weak ones, but I'll see the rest there. Aren't you always carping on how a man has to seize his moment? The moment's come, whatever the weather. Ricker's weak. The nail's swinging his prick down south, and she's had to send hard bread to deal with him."
He gave a snort.
"When bloody hard bread's your answer, you know you're short on choices."
And some of his named men dug out a chuckle.
"She's hardly got enough warriors to hold on to Carleon, let alone to hold it against us. I mean to get there before she can find any more. And Stand of the Barrows is growing restless. We don't find him some folk to kill, he'll find him here."
Clover frowned up towards the bone and hide standards planted on the high ground.
You can tell the best allies, 'cause they're so fixed on taking men's bones, they'll skin friends if they run out of enemies. Allies all have their shortcomings, some more than others.
Like lazy fucks whose first preference is sitting under a tree and whose second is betraying you. Don't try my patience, Clover. I've none to spare these days. We march today.
Clover took a long breath, then forced the smile onto his face.
Whatever you say, Chief.
He made sure he kept grinning as Calder and his men strode off towards the hall, spreading the bad news to each fire they passed. Flick doused theirs with a hiss, and Clover turned about to stare at him.
What are you doing? Well, we're marching, ain't we? Don't want to leave it burning. What? You're afraid this fucking morass will catch fire? There's a whole valley to empty and only one road. We'll be lucky if we're off the spot by nightfall. Now we'll be cold into the bargain.
Hold on, whispered Scholler. Hold on. She was wincing with the effort as she teased at her knife, a shaving coming off the cheese so fine the light shone through it.
Nobody fucking move.
Like a scrap of paper it was, as she held up the blade, so pale and perfect, fluttering a little with the breeze.
I've done it.
And a great drip came from the tree above and spattered on the knife, breaking the shaving in bits and scattering them across the muddy ground.
Fucking shit!
She barked, and Downside threw his head back and laughed.
Just goes to show, said Clover, how fate can smash all our plans in an instant.
You got plans? Asked Flick, looking genuinely surprised.
I've got plans like I've got boots.
Clover frowned down at his waterlogged footwear.
Honestly, I could always do with better ones.
Scholler had stood, cheese in one hand, knife in the other, watching the weary men stirring about their fires, striking their tents, gathering their gear, as Black Calder's orders spread.
What happens when we get to Carleon?
That is a question I'm still grappling with.
Ricker would be wondering why he'd sent no word back about her offer to Calder, and, with good reason, likely thought he'd betrayed her. Calder, meanwhile, knew Clover had betrayed him once already, and handed his beloved son over for rough handling by his enemies, putting it nicely. He might be telling the truth when he said he liked Clover, but Black Calder had killed men he liked more for lesser offences. And that was without considering the outcome if the Great Wolf ever did get his freedom. Clover winced, something he did whenever he considered the current situation.
Seems we might be trapped twixt the mountains and the sea, so to speak.
You are, said Scholler. Doubt anyone much cares about the rest of us.
Oh, you'd be surprised how vengeance, falling from a great height, can spatter the most innocent of bystanders. And you, my cheese-shaving beauty, by no means qualify.
She glanced over at Trapper, who was happening past with the remnants of his dozen, and pushed her tangled hair off her dirty face so she could try out a smile. Perhaps unsurprisingly, it won nothing from him.
Running away might be an option, she murmured through her fixed grin.
By all means, take to your heels, but running's for the young. I need to sit down somewhere dry, and I reckon my best chance of that is to stay close to the action and try to nudge things my way.
Clover scratched gently at his scar.
Close to the action, by the dead. You make every effort to steer clear of something, and all you do is end up mired to your fucking neck in it.
We'll all be mired soon enough.
Flick stared at the bog in the valley bottom and gave a gloomy sniff. Scholler leaned close.
Do you reckon there comes a time when you've betrayed folk so often that there's no one left to betray?
Clover gave a weary sigh.
We may find out.